This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
The Stars' opponent is set. Good morning, Metroplex. Thanks for being part of the show. I'm Sean Sharif alongside RJ Choppy. We got our Cowboys insider, Bobby Bell, along with Peyton and Rai Rai in the back. And we are live on the FanCam, Twitch, and YouTube. It is going to be the Las Vegas Golden Knights who you and Bobby, well, you watched when we went out for the Super Bowl.
Yes, I did.
Oh, I watched them.
You watched them for a whole period. And then I get the text. Hey, I left.
I had an early 5:30 a.m. wake-up call.
Yeah, you did.
It was earlier than that.
Earlier than that. But, already kind of in the works, trying to get out there. We'll see. We'll see what can happen. But it's not the series that I don't think you wanted. It'll be a fun series, but it'll be a tougher one. Now neither team's bad, right? They're both close to 100 points. But you don't want the champs. You don't want the champs. When they're healthy, they're still very formidable. The game we saw, I mean, they took it to Edmonton and won 16 straight. So they're a tough out. This is not the team, I don't think, that you wanted to see. And in the second round, they're going to get the winner of Colorado. Colorado's got Winnipeg. So it's not an easy road. And then if you're lucky enough to get through that, you got Edmonton. So good luck. The West is a nightmare. Bobby.
Yeah.
It's tough, very tough right now.
Here is the schedule for both your playoff teams over the next 2 weeks. Sunday, Mavs at Clippers, 2:30. Monday, 8:30 p.m., puck drop in Vegas for game one. Tuesday, Mavs at Clippers, 9 p.m. Wednesday, game two, Stars Vegas at 8:30 p.m. Friday, Mavs Clips at 7. Then Saturday, Sunday, Monday. So we are alternating, but be prepared to stay up late after Sunday for your basketball and your hockey.
Yeah, I don't like all that, especially in the middle of the NFL draft and everything else going around. I don't like these West Coast games. This isn't acceptable to me. But
the Stars had 0 wins against Vegas. They had 3 against LA. But obviously, LA, that's not going to matter right now. In the 3 games against the Knights outscored the Stars 11-4, that courtesy of the Hockey Hawk.
So we're due. That's what I hear, is that we're due and we're going to get our revenge.
We're due, absolutely.
Stars and, looking for some revenge this week.
And this is, this will be an otter situation, in the regular season, you might get a backup here or there playing. This is going to be otter in net every night, and we saw what that was last year. That was pretty darn good.
And the Stars are building their own facility?
Yes, they are! Right down the street for me! Another star center. This one's going to be in North Lakes. North Lake and Roanoke are like a border. It's right there. You don't even know which is the difference. I think I always call that part of town Roanoke, but they're going to build one right there by the Speedway, 35 and 114, the new star center. There's about 10 of them around town.
Dr. Pepper Star Center was built in Farmers Branch, where I grew up. And
is that the first one?
I think
that's
was
the first one I knew of.
Yeah, and that was. I mean, that got a bunch of people into hockey in that community. So,
meanwhile, speaking of plans, the Mavs are all in, Bobby.
Yep, more so than the Cowboys, it appears. Now it is.
Didn't the Cowboys get like the only F of some publications grading?
Yeah, there was a Bleacher Report had off-season grades for every NFL team, and the Cowboys finished with literally the only F grade for any team. In fact, the only two teams below a C were the Broncos and the Cowboys.
We'll be all in.
Commanders, Giants, Eagles, they all got B, B+, A. So you've gotten worse in your own division. But the Dallas Mavericks, new owners, the Adelson family, right? We've determined it's Adelson, not Adelson.
Yeah,
okay.
Adelson.
All right. The Adelson family has poured $4.1 million into a political action committee in Texas ahead of all the primary elections and the different or ahead of the primary elections that occurred in March. They put $4 million into this Texas super PAC. So they are very clearly trying to throw money at, hey, we need our people in and we're going to make sure that we get them here and ultimately get the betting environment that we believed we were going to get when we bought this team.
That's look, they know they don't have the votes. You don't put $4 million in if you have the votes, right? You don't need to. But holy cow, is that not the wrong? What's wrong with politics? Is that, hey, let's just throw money at this. We'll change their vote.
Yep.
That's right there. That's the problem. That's it. That's the issue.
Buying the influence.
Well, and I mean,
I would do if I could.
Yep.
I mean, well,
I tried to. I don't,
to be clear, they're not like donating $4 million to people in office right now and saying, here you go. Here's some money. Go, change your vote. It's more like we're donating to the campaign so that these people get elected and we'll be able to get the people.
Well, it's like Jerry like does for me.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Or like Jerry does for Arkansas basketball and John Calipari.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's right. Let's preview the series a little bit.
Tim McMahon had a good write-up. They had a great write-up over at ESPN. It's just a rundown of each team and kind of like where are they at heading into the postseason. And Tim McMahon wrote the Mavericks write-up. And it's, I think it's a good just kind of encapsulation of where things are at. When he talks about Dallas's biggest concern, he says, if the Mavs revamped starting five has a flaw, it's inconsistent three-point shooting from the wings. Washington is shooting 32% from three-point range this season. Derrick Jones is shooting 34%, which is actually a career best. Opponents will live with Washington and Jones getting long-range looks if they can force the ball out of the hands of playmakers like Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving, but that often means doubling one superstar, resulting in the other operating with an advantage. Jones and Washington are both explosive finishers who are capable of exploiting cracks in rotating defenses. Dante Exum, whom coaches consider Dallas's second-best on-the-ball defender behind Jones, is a candidate to close games. He is shooting 49% on threes, including 8 of 12 in clutch situations. So I think that we've all said this whole time since P.J. Washington got here, if P.J. Washington's knocking down threes,
yeah, they're tough.
That you can't, it's going to be really difficult to beat the Mavericks. And look, if they're going to try and double Kyrie, double Luka, and you're going to get some of these open looks, it is absolutely critical that the Mavericks don't get one of these 4-for-28 three-point shooting stretches that P.J. Washington's gone through at times.
It's like, you know, there's a similarity to 2011, like, and they're not the same players at all. I'm not saying that, but like if Jet's on one, or Deshaun Stevenson, you know, gets hot, like they're tough.
Yeah,
yeah, they're tough to beat. But you know, if they're not, then that puts so much more pressure on at the time Dirk and now Luka and Kyrie.
Yeah, and he points out, he talks about the biggest matchup to watch in this round again is like how much does Luka compared to the last series go at Zubac, and then how much does Ty Lue respond to that and try to adjust to it? Because we've talked about the bigger guys now that they have here, the quality big men that they have in Daniel Gafford, Derek Lively, guys like that. It makes it really difficult for them to go small, which was what Ty Lue's response was to it in the last round, and it worked as an adjustment for them.
Tonight are the final play-in games at 6 o'clock on ESPN. Bulls Heat, Jimmy Butler is out for weeks. Kings Pelicans on TNT at 8:30. Zion is out. So Bulls Heat, Kings Pelicans to decide the number 8 spots in each conference.
Why did they play last night?
I was wondering too. Maybe unfair travel.
Yeah, back to back. You'd have a back to back for some of the teams.
Boy, I personally have said I want to see as many 7, 10, 8, 9. Like those are the matchups that I want to see. And then what I really want to see is losers coming off of those games without their biggest stars.
Yeah.
Fantastic job, NBA.
Oh, yeah, they plan the stars to be hurt, Bobby.
No, my whole point is just, no, but the whole point is like, this is bad basketball in the first place. Why are we getting this?
Because
to start the playoffs.
At least for me, if it's close in the fourth quarter of these, I will switch over.
There's stakes in these games.
I'll watch if I remember, and if it's close in the fourth.
I'll be honest. These games.
8 minutes left.
These games are, because you don't care about the teams, they're all infinitely more entertaining than game one of another series.
Hmm.
See, like, I would much rather watch a play-in game with game 7 stakes on the line than game 1 of Magic, who's Orlando playing?
I can't remember.
Bucks.
Bucks Pacers.
I'd much rather watch game.
Wait, now we have to remember. Cleveland.
I have no interest in Cavs Magic, right?
Yeah.
Game one, but I'll watch game seven.
Of course.
Right? But and I would watch the play-in game over game one of that, even though they're better teams.
All right, look, I love when there are possible burner accounts exposed, and the internet thinks they have one for RJ's boy, Tobias Harris.
Uh-oh. Oh, go Vols, baby.
Not Toby.
Yep. So this is a Twitter account they think is Tobias.
Boban is Tobias' Twitter account.
This is what you get. Do you see Boban, like, miss the shots for
on purpose to give the fans of the other team
Free fried chicken.
Like, that is a man of the people.
So Tobias Harris is on a 5-year, $180 million contract in Philly. They've been booing him. He's shooting 35% from three, his worst since the 16-17 season. His defense has apparently taken a step backwards. So the other night, he was getting booed in their game, and the Twitter account said, "This is what you get when you try to play through an injury in Philadelphia. Nothing but abuse. No worse fans in America than Philly fans." This is an anonymous account replying to an image showing him missing four consecutive layup attempts. Then he attacked a teammate, Kelly Oubre, saying 11 points tonight on 3-9 from the field. You don't say S. Tobias goes 4 of 10 playing through an injury, and you act like he murdered somebody. Be better. To add a layer of this, Oubre was formerly represented by Tobias's father, and they parted ways in the offseason.
Oh, nice.
So they're like, okay, this is Tobias Harris. Jimmy Smits, 32-73, has since deleted both of the above tweets and switched to private. I love when we uncover possible burners.
Man, the
Jimmy Smits.
Isn't
from
that
NYPD Blue?
Exactly.
Yep. Sipowicz's partner, yeah.
Sipowicz.
The NBA's problem with burner accounts getting busted. Like, I can't imagine, like, Colangelo, the NFL has to, the NFL AD. Has to have them. Like,
could you imagine being that rich and caring? Would people think that much?
I got to imagine other leagues have the same sort of like percentage of burner accounts. I can't think it's just some.
Yeah.
But for some reason, the NBA is sloppy with theirs, like really bad. And yeah, the Brian Colangelo one is obviously the famous one. KD, like the way that he's interacted. But they have massive problems with people being dumb with their burner accounts.
Are kids fleeing Colorado with Deion and the transfer portal?
It's a yearly occurrence. It's that every year it seems like they've got this turnover, like the
every
roster
year,
turnover.
He's been there for one.
But I mean, it's becoming a new standard. That's two years happened.
It's annual.
That a trend, Sean. Okay, 14 players, including a former 5-star recruit, the highest ranked corner in the recruiting class last year for all of college football, have announced their intentions to enter the transfer portal. Deion is downplaying it though, and it's funny. Have you ever seen the internet meme where when somebody claims something ridiculous, people reply back and they'll go, "Source, trust me, bro."
Yeah.
They'll do that. That's essentially what.
Yeah, I saw plenty of that 2 weeks ago.
Deion's defense was, "Trust me, bro," basically. They were asked about, "Hey, why isn't this a big deal? Why isn't this a problem, Deion?" He says, "We're good. I trust the recruiting team. I trust our coaches. And please have some faith in me. We're good."
And he basically
we're all
said,
right.
So y'all didn't watch these kids practice. Crapped on the kids. Well, reporters are not allowed to watch them practice. Also,
right,
dude, Deion.
I do love how his talk, though, like, it's so strong. It's like there's nowhere to hide. Like, he has to win. Has to win with all the bravado and all the talking.
This is the year. Got the quarterback as a basically in his last year.
He also tried to backtrack on the only play for these six teams, and he's like, "I didn't say it like that. That's
yeah.
Stupidity.
Those are the preferred. Those would be the preferred team.
Yeah.
But you know, you're not gonna ruin somebody's earning potential. You're not gonna do that. Now, if you're gonna be, if you're like John Elway or Eli Manning, you know you're gonna be the number one pick. You know someone's gonna trade up for you. But if you're not the number one pick, I mean, you don't really have the same power.
How is Jalen Hurts feeling?
Jalen Hurts
about Kellen Moore? Are the Eagles banned from wearing their filthy green? And is RJ questioning Dak Prescott's greatest strength? An NFL commercial-free expressway, and then the junk drawer to give you some laughs on a Friday, all coming up next.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Two for two show. Oh.
She's plagiarizing Bruce Hornsby in the Range. Listen to that piano. Ding, 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 ding. That's classic Bruce Hornsby.
That's just the way it is.
Is this the name of her album? Is this like the song? Is this the highlight? The star feature, star attraction? A Taylor Swift and the release overnight?
I think so. I mean, these are the first ones that pop up on YouTube. I mean, they go in order too with views. So, I mean, this is the one that's getting the most views right now.
Okay. Hmm. I don't know. The first one took a little too long to get to Post Malone. This
again, it's not I need more up tempo, man. This is not 1989. 1989 is so much better so far.
She'll win album of the year again.
She absolutely will.
Jay-Z will be celebrating her. Big time.
It's like giving Alabama like the number one ranking. Like, we'll just give it to him.
She's pretty amazing, but this I'm 0-2 on these. I'm not a, I mean,
We'll try and find one that bops.
This will probably grow on me, I'm sure.
We'll find a banger.
Yeah, find a banger.
Commercial-free expressway here on Sean, RJ, and Roberto. It's DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. We're going to have a double threat at 8 o'clock because the Rangers are taking on the Braves on Apple TV. We'll have the TV play-by-play voice of that game, and he's an NHL announcer. So we have Rangers, Jack Leiter, and the Dallas Stars playoff beginning covered with one person at 8 this morning. But the
Have you figured out how to watch this game yet, by the way? Apple TV games?
No. I haven't either. No. Do I have to download the...
Yeah, you got to buy Apple TV. You got to pay for Apple TV.
The horror. Subscription is.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awful, Chop.
Yeah, it is.
What's the reference?
There's no reference there. It's just wow, the horror. You have to sign up for a $4.99 service, Choppy. That's really
just listen. Yeah, well, Bobby, you pay the most utilities, unnecessary utilities, and TV bills. Why are you talking to us about?
So what's $4.99?
Well, what's $4? It's not the point.
Yes,
it's $4.99 for this, and then $4.99 for that,
exactly,
and then $7.99 for that, and then $8.99 for that, and all of a sudden you're $20 in a month, and now over the course of a year. Math was at $200,
exactly.
$240 for the year.
Exactly.
See, if you wouldn't have used up your free Apple TV subscription trying to be a fake soccer fan when Messi joined, you could have had it. You.
I didn't try to even sign up for
you
that.
Okay.
I didn't. I've never watched Apple TV once. The only reason I wanted Apple TV was for that newsroom show or whatever with Kidman or Aniston, whoever was in it. What's that?
Jennifer Aniston and Reese Witherspoon and Steve.
Was it called Newsroom?
Yeah,
the morning show.
The morning show.
No idea.
That's the only thing that I ever wanted Apple TV for. No.
There's some good movies on Apple TV.
Corey's a humongous fan. Corey Majors. The Philadelphia Eagles are about to lose their colors for the NFL opener.
Yeah, they are playing the Green Bay Packers in Brazil.
I've heard of them.
Yes, I've heard of them both. But
we've definitely heard of the Packers.
That's the first game in Brazil, regular season game in Brazil. It's in September. There is a problem, though. They are playing in Sao Paulo, which will be played at the Corinthians Arena, which is home to Brazilian soccer team Corinthians. The biggest rivalry for them is Palmeiras, who wears the color green. Okay. Palmeiras wears green. Why is this a problem? Because there is a ban on wearing green at the stadium because of their biggest rival.
Oh.
You can't wear green at the stadium.
Love it.
There are three teams in the NFL who have green as their primary colors. The Eagles, the Packers, and the Jets. Two of them are playing in this game. Now, Philadelphia does have an alternate black jersey. Right, they have an alternate black jersey, so they could wear that with Green Bay wearing the white.
Honestly, man, I like the Eagles jerseys
in general.
I like that dark green. I like that black. I do.
It's good. I like it. I you know, I didn't at first. I like the Kelly green better, their old school look, the Randall Cunningham.
Well, that's
kind
of what they wore last year, right? They had that Kelly green.
They wore it a lot.
They had that as an alternate.
I like the Kelly green.
Yeah, I do too. The Randall
Cunningham. Not the other ones, but the Kelly green. Like, not the McNabb ones, not the other ones, but the old Kelly green.
The old Kelly green ones. So, I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, this is probably something that the NFL has already talked to them about.
Probably.
I would hope. Maybe they haven't. Maybe they haven't talked to them about this, but this is interesting. What if they both had to show up wearing their white jerseys? They couldn't wear the green ones.
That would be gross.
Very odd.
Yeah, that would be disgusting. But, like, I mean, this is this cool or is this lame? Like, banning the color, like, even for something where it's like, they're not even playing. That sport's not playing.
Oh, I think it's, like, I think it's kind of cool
because
we don't have that kind of passion here
right.
in the U.S. for that.
I mean, it's like,
if you wear Cowboys or certain colors in Oxnard, you'll get shot. That's
passion.
You get
shot, but you're not banned.
Right.
Okay? They at least let you do it.
Yeah.
And then you see what's what.
Yeah, if you can walk away leaking, that's fine, but you are going to get shot for it.
Right.
You're not going to get banned, though.
Did you
a free
see
country.
The Jason Kelce lost Super Bowl ring?
Yeah, and what, grapes?
No, Skyline Chili. Close,
chili.
Though.
That's way off. What was that?
It was a food item.
How could you lose a ring in grapes?
It'd be so easy to find. You're crushing grapes to make wine.
All right, Lucy.
Yeah.
You step it all. You're making wine. Okay.
Yeah.
Jason Kelce and his brother, of course, Cincinnati, right? They held the great Lumbaby Games at the University of Cincinnati. The competition is between athletes and academics, involving a game where competitors dive into pools of Skyline Chili. How freaking gross is that? And he lost a Super Bowl ring in there. Now, I thought I was going to read this, and it was, all right, lost a Super Bowl ring, dug through it all. The people afterwards, they found it, like Bobby's keys on the field of the globe. They never found it. Jason Kelce does not have his Super Bowl ring because it has been lost in vats of Skyline Gross. Chili. So he said that on his New Heights podcast, I legitimately lost my ring in that event. They could not find it. All the stuff has now been thrown away, so we can safely assume my Super Bowl ring is now in a landfill someplace in the Cincinnati tri-state area. A vat of Skyline Chili lost his Super Bowl ring.
That's pretty gross.
Really gross.
That's pretty darn disgusting. I first of all, Skyline Chili.
Don't. You know what? I'll do something. It'll gross you out. If there's like leftover spaghetti noodles that my son hasn't eaten, and I'll have like a leftover half can of Wolf Brand chili, which is that Slater's family's chili that she never tries to.
She would. Yeah,
I love this damn Wolf Brand chili.
It's good.
It's so good.
I've never had it.
It's really good. I'll combine it. Cincinnati style, and my wife is looking at me like I have four heads, and you put some onions on there.
It's good.
It's good. You'll mix it with spaghetti noodles?
Yeah, my dad's from Cincinnati.
Oh.
So, like, we grew up with, like, chili two ways, three ways, four ways, five ways. Like, we grew up with it, like, the same verbiage.
Chili with anything, man. You can put chili with white rice.
Chili's great.
Chili noodle. It doesn't matter. Yeah. Have a bed for it.
The only difference between chili and with noodles and bolognese with noodles is a little bit of seasoning difference.
Yeah.
That's it.
Some cumin.
Yeah, that's it. But we make fun of it.
Yeah.
You can make fun of it. I'm sure it's tasty.
It sounds like it looks and sounds like a gross concept.
Yeah, it doesn't sound appetizing at all.
Yeah.
We'll see.
So he lost it in the vat of that. Jalen Hurts.
Jalen
Hurts.
He is talking about Kellen Moore.
Yeah, this is, he gave a press conference because they're, you know, different people are back in NFL buildings right now doing offseason programs and stuff like that. But he sat down and did a press conference, and it's the first time he's really had a chance to speak on the departure of Brian Johnson, the offensive coordinator that he was really close with. His first chance to talk about the new offense, really, with Kellen Moore, Doug Nussmeier's over there now. Things are going to be changing. So this was an interesting clip here where Jalen Hurts has always been Mr. like head down. I'm gonna continue to persevere and I'm gonna continue to do this.
He's like Dak Prescott speaking.
Yeah.
He's not gonna give you anything.
Similarly, yeah. And so that's why it was a little interesting to finally hear him talk about all the changeover that they've had with his offensive coaches, similar to what he had in Alabama. And he did kind of acknowledge what seems to be, in Jalen Hurts' delivery, in Jalen Hurts' terms, some irritation and the desire for, hey, let's get some consistency on this coaching staff.
I think as a player, I definitely yearn for the sustainability and the consistency there, as you know, a coach style serves for his offensive line room. As a quarterback, I yearn for those things in the play caller and the quarterback coach, because you kind of see how consistency in those areas can breed excellence, and his track record kind of shows for that. So that's definitely something that I desire. I find myself in a situation very similar to college in terms of having a constantly revolving, you know, thing and door in terms of coordinators and coaches. But I've always managed to have success in it. So that's always been a good thing, because you've been able to, you know, learn from people and apply it, you know, and kind of take what applies to you. But in the end, you know, I think that is important.
He's somebody who, when you hear him talk, like you say, he's a Dak Prescott type. Everything's my fault. I'll take everything that you need me to take. I'm going to, you know, we can't control like outside factors. You just control what you control. Put your head down. This is the first time that, and you can hear him there. He's trying to bring it back around a little. Like, well, look, I'm going to have the same thing at in my college career too. And ultimately it gave me different perspectives and I was able to learn different things from different people and bring myself up. But he did. That was by far the longest stretch he talked. The other day with the media was when they were like, hey, would you appreciate it if there was some stability here? And you could see he like paused and kind of gave a wince and he walked around it big time. But he is, I think, getting frustrated with the idea that I need somebody who's here for a minute that I can be coupled with.
Like, you know, they got the coach. The head coach has been consistent, but the coordinators have not. Now, you would think the head coach, when he's an offensive guy, would maintain consistency.
Yeah, but, I mean, there has been some turnover, and they have had different voices in there. I mean, look, that was a...
It's also a product of your own success.
What do you mean?
Well,
assistants getting hired.
Assistants getting hired elsewhere.
Yeah. No, and that's that aspect. Brian Johnson was not hired away because of success, though.
No, he wasn't, but I'll tell you this. Like, and now, you can't compare these guys, but there are plenty of... The truly, truly elite quarterbacks, they don't skip a beat when their coordinator leaves. Tom didn't. Manning didn't. Mahomes didn't. When your coordinator leaves, you're the guy, right? You're the offense. It ain't the coordinator.
It's interesting. I'm going, like, that makes it, I need to go back and look, because I feel like there was a stretch where when offenses have changed for a couple different quarterbacks, I feel like we've talked about elite guys having some struggles with it. And so I need to go back and look and just do a research on, like, some of the big name quarterbacks that we've had over the last 15 years and when they change offenses, but he's clearly frustrated by it. That's as worked up as you'll ever hear Jalen Hurts get with his language, like the things that he has to say. He's always going to have the same delivery where he's like this.
Yeah.
But the language, the actual words he's using, it's like, that's somebody who's like, hey, I took a lot of heat last year from people who felt like, oh, was he a flash in the pan? I would like to settle down in something now, please.
And then one of the words that RJ Choppy detests and believes in the least, we got intangibles.
Intangibles. Immeasurables.
Yep.
Yes. If it's intangible and immeasurable, does it even exist? Well, The Athletic shared 8 NFL talent evaluators, and Caleb Williams ranked 6th out of 6 as it pertains to intangibles and immeasurables. 4 of the 8s rated
6 out of 6 like good.
6th out of 6 like he ranked 6th out
of the 6 quarterbacks.
Of the quarterbacks.
Yeah.
4 of them had him last overall in immeasurables, and 3 rated him next to last. He's been criticized for painting his fingernails and crying in his mother's arms in the stands after USC lost to Washington. That raised questions about his toughness. Oh, the horror. A man showing emotion. what a horrible thing. Horrible. No wonder why suicide is so high among men, because they refuse to go to mental health because there's a stigma about it. BetterHelp.com, Sean.
It's quite a leap you just made on people criticizing Caleb Williams to make that leap. I think
it's a big point. Like, we're saying, because he cried in his mom's arms, that he doesn't have toughness. Like, that's a problem that's a problem that men have to face. That there's a stigma around showing emotion.
I don't disagree with, like, the statement you're making. I just don't remember you like defending him when that story happened that much or making that point.
Well, I didn't criticize him for it, so I think that's the defense.
Okay, I didn't remember you like taking up for him.
No, I mean, I don't know that I took up for him, but it's like, I think if you don't criticize him, then you're just cool with it, right? It's just like, I don't know. I didn't think it was a big deal that he was crying.
And I don't know. I mean, I guess like, yeah, there were probably people in Twitter troll like corners of the universe that were saying like, ah, this is why he's soft. He's crying in mommy's arm. There may be people that look at it that way. I remember a
obviously
lot of
it's NFL talent evaluators.
I remember a lot of the discussion.
Well, there's a lot of things with him.
I remember a lot of the discussion about that specific instance being less about, oh, he's crying in mommy's arms, and being more like, he's sore loser. He can't handle losses. He's, you know, separating himself from the team. He's got to go walk away from a team loss and go isolate himself with parents. Like, that was some of the, like, criticism I thought from people who were not just trolling, was the idea of, like, there's an issue with that, but it's not that he's crying in his mom's arms in a vacuum. It was you could not handle
failure. It looked like the adult version of me rocking my son to sleep. That's what it looked like up in the stands. It looked like he was up there in his mom's arms and she was rocking to sleep. It was weird.
Now, other people saying,
sorry, it was we've never seen it before.
No,
it was weird to me.
But six out of six in terms of intangibles and immeasurables for Caleb Williams. I don't know what to say about this. Like, there are two things that does it mean they don't exist? No, it doesn't mean they don't exist. But like, if you can't put a number on it, what can you really?
Well, you don't have to be able to. You don't have to measure everything in life. Like,
when you're making a decision like this, you want to though, right? Like, you want to.
Well, so
you know what I mean? Like, you're making a major.
I can tell. I don't know if you can do this based upon, I don't know how much interaction they've had with Caleb, but I can, in my opinion, with deadly accuracy, talk about the intangibles of like every person in this building. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but I
know who brings extra intangibles and who doesn't, and who cares more and who doesn't, and who does things in categories that don't show up all the time on paper. Because I've worked with a lot of these people.
Right.
We've worked together.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
If before they got there, there's no way to know it.
Yeah.
So there's no way to predict
it. I mean, I guess unless you're taking that from whatever interview time you get, with whatever coaches you spoke with the homework that you've done, whatever PIs I'm sure that they've investigated, they have to come up with intangibles from somewhere, or maybe they don't. If you don't feel like you have enough to go off of.
So like, for instance, I was just...
But like, intangibles... hit with Kelvin Joseph. That landed. That came through. Bobby and others said this guy.
That was a rap sheet, though, wasn't it? That wasn't necessarily.
No, not in college.
He had not. I thought he did.
No, like, I mean, he may have had. I don't know.
He transferred.
If he had, like,
And he got kicked out of. He did get kicked out of like LSU.
The
right?
reality is, he got kicked out of LSU. I don't think it went on the books that way, but.
But there's some people, right, that, you know. Loving football, we always hear that. Now, sometimes people can thrive and not loving what they do, but Bobby, you should be able to speak to this with all the scouting stuff.
So to me, first off, I think when they say intangibles, I don't think that means the made-up things they can't put their finger on. Like, I think they can list for you what they consider intangibles, and they would say leadership, character, like they would list all these things. When they say intangibles, I think they're saying, like, can't be physically measured. It's not his height. It's not his weight. It's not his arm length, his hand span, his speed. It's none of that. It's the stuff you can't put a number on, but these are things that matter. They're personality traits and everything else. And from that perspective, I don't think I don't think that should be taken lightly. If he's finishing sixth out of sixth, then the things like leadership and character and like locker room personality and culture fit and things like that. I don't think that can just be brushed off as, you know, they don't have anything bad to say about him, so they got to put that on there. No, I think that means that stands out as a real negative to them. And if there's a position in sports, I know you generally, Chop, you don't like those peripheral things about personality and love of the game and stuff like that. But if there is a position in sports where something like intangibles would matter most, that's the one position it would, where you have to, like, the quarterback in football.
You got to be a junkie.
That matters, not just from love of football, but also the ability to lead a locker room and the way people look at you in that setting, that locker room culture. So to me, I think that's damning that evaluators would say he's sixth out of sixth. I don't think that's just a catch-all to, like, explain away why you don't like somebody. I don't know, intangibles.
Anything else from there?
That's it. That's really it with it.
Friday, Expressway, commercial-free, back to the Rangers and Stars at 8 o'clock. But right now, let's clean out the junk.
Did you know that Benjamin Franklin invented the junk drawer?
Junk it!
877-881-1053 for the Franklin & Franco Injury Attorney Hotline to hit us up here on DFW Sports Station. And whenever we can, we'd like to start local.
Let's start local here with a little bit of hard work. We just talked about hard work. Talk about it again. Where do you rank? What is the hardest working cities in the United States? I was kind of stunned.
Oh, Midwest.
Washington, D.C.
How did you know?
Is that really what it is?
Yeah.
I was lying. I was trying to think, what is the most ridiculous answer that would never be the one?
It is absolutely ridiculous that it was Washington, D.C. There's barely any people. I mean, how many people live there? 500,000, if that?
Is this hours put in or like real work, like effort that you're...
What is half a million? What do you mean 500,000?
That's about who lives. That's about how many people are in like D.C. It's small. Like in the actual district of Columbia, the very small district of Columbia.
Well, they have the White House there. You know, I think
they do have the White House there, Peyton. That's correct. That's what a
Peyton Blitzer over here.
Yes, absolutely. The average U.S. worker puts in 1,800 hours per year, 200 more hours than the average in Japan, 280 more than U.K., 470 more than Germany.
Wow. Man. They got to figure it out.
So in order to determine which cities outwork the rest of America, this is from Wallet Hub, they compared the 116 largest cities among 11 different metrics.
11.
So 11 different metrics they use to determine this one. D.C. comes in at number one. And then it's basically all Texas.
Ooh, yeah.
Number two.
Blue collar.
Hell yeah.
Number two, Irving.
Where we were yesterday.
Yes, we were. We are. Las Colinas Country Club. Cheyenne, number three, working on the...
Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Cheyenne, Wyoming, working on the oil rig. Virginia Beach, Virginia, big military town. Anchorage, Alaska. Another one, Norfolk, Virginia, big military town. Dallas, Texas is number seven.
Yeah.
Austin, Texas.
Although you would never be able to judge that at 2:30 p.m. every Friday. Out here,
I mean,
on the highways,
those roads look a little light right now for being rush hour.
Yeah, we took off for the eclipse.
We did.
That's true.
Austin's 10th, Corpus Christi is 12th, Plano is 13th.
Wow.
Fort Worth is 14th, Arlington is 15th, Garland is 19th, Houston is 27th. Lubbock 41, San Antonio 43. Just littered.
And how was this judged?
11 different metrics
okay.
that they use to come up with.
Texans hardworking, though? That's not a surprising label.
Here we go. No. Here's what they write up on Irving is. Irving, the second most hardworking city in the country, in large part has the lowest share of households where no adults work.
The largest share of households?
Lowest share.
Okay.
So only 11% of households in Irving don't work. In addition, they rank 9th in terms of the mean number of hours worked per week. One consequence of their hard work is that they have a much lower amount of leisure time compared to people in most cities. Irving workers should be applauded for their dedication. It's also important to avoid overwork. It takes some time to relax.
I guess my future sister-in-law counted in the 11% there, sitting around doing nothing for years.
Man, American workers work 25% more hours than Europeans. Wow.
25%. All right, RJ's getting depressed. So Texas, hardworking. Stamp it.
Quit your wine. Now, here, I like this. Speaking of European, this restaurant, this is a headline over at the New York Post. This restaurant is giving you a free bottle of wine, but you have to give up your phone.
Oh, this is fascinating.
Which I think this is a good idea because this ultimately is... It's not pushy. It's not like a hard line rule of like when you walk in here, you got to turn over your phone.
Yeah.
It's not even like what you ran into in where the hell's the Jerry party over here? Nobu, where they're like, don't take pictures. Put your phone up. Like that whole thing. You don't even run anything like that, right?
They didn't say that at the Jerry party.
No, not at the Jerry party. I'm talking about when you went to Nobu like
when we hung with Paris.
Yeah. No photos of Paris. Please. Yeah. Please.
My wife was the one yelling at me, put your phone down. When I was like, Paris, look over here. I love you. I never see these people again. Who cares?
Never.
Oh, no, the singer, Rob.
Rob Zombie?
No. Dang it! I'll come up with it in a second. He had like his own little shaving
cake. Wait a second. Rob Thomas?
Rob Thomas.
Isn't he the,
Matchbox 20?
No, it's probably not even starting with Rob. Go ahead.
Al Condominio.
Hang on. Who was the singer we saw at Nobu with Paris Hilton that night? Question mark.
Al Condominio, which opened in the northern city of Verona in March, offers a free bottle of wine to customers who hand over their phones before meals. The owner of the restaurant said, we wanted to open a restaurant that was different from the others, so we picked this format. Customers can choose.
Thick, Robin, or Thick. Someone Thick.
Robin Thick.
Robin Thick.
Yeah. His dad took a girl from me.
Alan Thick.
Alan Thick took a girl from you?
Yeah, May he rest in peace.
I was working this girl.
How are you the same age demographic?
We weren't. Well, I was with her. He wasn't with her. I was working this girl at Coyote Ugly in
How
Vegas.
How have we never heard this?
I mean, he's told me this off the air.
Yeah. It's Coyote Ugly in Vegas. It's probably like 04, 05, long time ago. And the whole time, right there. And here comes Alan Thick rolling in with his gorgeous locks and his growing pains or whatever.
Show me that smile again.
Comes in and just says, you want some of Alan Thick? And
no, he didn't.
And gone.
She left you?
She vanished like a fart in the wind.
Really?
Gone, yeah.
Alan Thick. Wow.
Alan Thick.
That's amazing.
That is a great name, though. Alan Thick. How are you going to turn down Alan Thick?
Everyone should have the middle nickname Thick.
Yeah.
You know, Sean Thick Sharif. You know what I mean?
I'd take Thick over Cameron. So
I'd take it over Omar. Thanks, Dad.
Yeah, yeah. The owner of the restaurant added, technology is becoming a problem. There is no need to look at your phone every 5 seconds, but for many people, it's like a drug. This way, they have the opportunity to put it aside and drink some good wine. So if you will turn over your phone, they'll give you a free bottle of wine. My only thing is, like, what if you're like, oh, I got to check on my kids, or there's an emergency. Mm. If you, like, go over there to get your phone, are they going to be like, well, you got to give back the wine or pay for the wine now? That's the only thing that I'm not sure. But I think overall this is a good idea, and, like, if more restaurants, like, offered this, I think you'd get people taking advantage of it.
All right, who could do it most likely to least likely on the show? 90-minute dinner. 90-minute dinner, you got to give up the cell phone.
I'm the least likely, by far.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that.
RJ is at the dinner with the people he texts the most, so I think he could maybe get away with it, I think.
She'll get on me if I have my phone out too much. Like, she'll go hours without looking at her phone, like if it's like just like if she's on a weekend, just not even in the same room with it.
The first spot we went to in Vegas for dinner, you guys kept your phones away the whole night, like until we got to the end of dinner. I didn't. Like, it wasn't like I was on it the whole time, but I did have to, like, pick it up and check it a couple times.
Peyton?
I think I'm out 90 minutes. I mean, just like a quick text or something.
You're in the new relationship. You should be able to do that. I used to make fun of everyone in the restaurant or whoever's reading the book, and I'm like, ha, we're never going to be that couple. But then I'll, like, find myself on the phone sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. He doesn't need to check her location if he knows she's right across from him.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not home. She's home.
Los Hombres will be, ooh, they'll be fine. Right, they'll be okay without you.
I don't know. I'm the leader.
I'll FaceTime you after dessert, boys. All right, so trading it in. I like it. And what money type of bottle are we getting? What's the monetary value?
He said a good bottle of wine.
Okay.
Well, that's relative, right?
I mean, it is. Am I doing it for a $13 bottle?
Be honest, $6 bottle of wine, $100 bottle of wine, it tastes the same.
You're going to take shots of it anyway.
One time, and it stopped. But either way, I can't tell the difference between the taste, to be honest.
How long is our travel commute to work? It's the next one.
23 minutes.
23 minutes for you. Yeah, it's about 35 for me. 28, about 30, 35 for me.
Yesterday, I told myself I'm quitting if the station moves to Las Colinas. After that drive home yesterday, it was 42 minutes. Ooh. It was torture.
That's my drive out of here every day is 40. Yeah,
it's about 40 for me.
Awful. I'm out. Or 6 to 10. I will pull the Bobby hours.
You pull the Bobby hours.
And I'll come in at 6:30.
Coming at 6 to 10.
I was very surprised. I thought we would rank a little bit higher in
I'll
this.
I'll trade you the salary difference for you to come in at 5:30 and me to come in at 6. But I'm not coming in at 5:30. We're in Las Colinas.
An April report from the Department of Energy went and looked at who has the longest and shortest, what states have the longest and shortest commutes to work.
It should just go by population.
You would think it goes by population. Now,
L.A. the longest. New York.
Yeah. So it's like for they did put states too. This is like kind of just all encompassing. So I think we got docked a little bit because there's a lot of land here, obviously. So like a smaller state like Connecticut might have a longer commute time because it's so populated in a condensed area. But New York has the longest commute time. Their average commute, the average person's commute, is over 33 minutes, followed by Maryland, New Jersey, Washington, D.C., Massachusetts. Then you get California. We are actually below the U.S. average in commute time, which I found to be quite interesting. We were a little bit below, which is less than 27 minutes. That is the average, the national average.
Everything here is 30 minutes apart. Yep.
Yeah.
Everything's 30 minutes away.
It's when I went to New York, when I went to the Yankees game last year, while we were in New York for the Cowboys, I had left like 3 hours before the game, something like that, and I was Ubering. So it's 3 hours before the game on a Sunday morning, and the Uber over there was like 5 miles.
Yeah.
And the cart was an hour and 10 minutes. I was like, how is this possible? Dude, it moves whenever this slow on a Sunday.
Whenever I go to New York, I like want to go to the different boroughs to like compare the pizza. Like I want to go to Brooklyn. I want to go to Queens, and I can't do it. Because it makes it feel like it's like a two-hour trip to go to the different boroughs. And, mm-hmm. I mean, the California trip back. Yesterday, we were trying to calculate when to fly out from training camp. And that one time, right, where it was like 8 miles.
Yeah, it was an hour. It was 50 minutes to get to 8 miles. But we see this all the time. Like we're trying
to a mile a minute in the
mile
country.
Mile a minute in the country, man.
13 miles, that means yep. 13 minutes.
The Franklin Injury Attorneys Fan Tax, drive an hour and 15 one way.
Oh.
84 miles home to office, it's an hour and a half. Let's see, I drive 25 minutes from work. It takes me over 25 minutes from work. It takes me over an hour to get home every day. And that's just for the 25 miles.
And Peyton, yours is a little bit of a beating, right?
Yeah, at least 35. I mean, in the morning, it's 30. But, yeah, 35 to 40 going home.
That's about the same as what Choppy and I do. So it. Maybe you should stop whining, Peyton.
Well, I want to move to Dallas, but, you know, my girlfriend said no. So.
Well, the rent probably said no.
The rent probably said no.
Would you rather live in an apartment in Dallas or the house you have now in Rockwall?
The house, because rent's cut in half because we split it. So if I was in Dallas, I'd be paying for the whole thing.
Why? Because I mean, you're living with her in Dallas.
Oh, yeah, then I would do Dallas 100%.
He already dumped her. He already went solo.
Well, she wouldn't move to Dallas with me. That was the thing.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
I'm just saying, hypothetically.
I would move to Dallas.
You would move to Dallas in an apartment and give up the space, higher rent that you're splitting. Well, maybe not higher rent. I don't know what your rent is now. I'm not trying to get in your business. Versus more space, house, Rockwall.
I like the city. I like living in the city.
I would live in the city in a heartbeat. Kristen would never.
Really?
She like absolutely no. I would love to live like downtown. She would not.
I thought my wife was gonna dread going to the country, but like she loves it more than me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you got the snake issue.
Yeah, I got nothing but animals right now. Armadillo the other day. Turtle crossings.
Okay.
Ducks are in my pool, and I grew up in the country, but I didn't see no freaking animals like this.
Totally different country. Totally different country.
I was gonna give it my AR, but now I'm not.
Yeah. This somebody says on the fan text. Mountain lion urine. Get mountain lion urine and spread it all over your yard. And that will keep animals out.
That's somebody lying to you. That's somebody trying to make you. That's somebody
does it make sense?
You.
Have you not seen Jurassic Park?
Pour urine everywhere.
When you get
I'll do it if I can get it.
If you get T-Rex pee. I don't know how you get it.
Yeah, how am I going to get the mountain lion urine?
Sidle up to one and put a cup under there. Get a sample. Mm. No, I'm sure you can buy it. Amazon's got to have it. Mountain lion urine.
Let's talk about Jack Leiter, the Rangers, and your Dallas Stars against Vegas with a guy who calls all of it professionally. Alex Faust, the only way you can watch Rangers tonight on Apple TV, the play-by-play voice, is next.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.